All righty, we're just going to have the invitation right here. Right? Wrong. No, right. Listen, it's all, the invitation's always there, right? Opportunity to respond to God speaking into your heart. God is speaking even now. So as we enter into sharing His Word together, just allow Him to continue to speak to you, okay, and draw you into relationship with Him and closer to Him. We've been in a series the last several weeks called The Uncommon Life, and I've been talking about, you know, what that looks like, the characteristics of that. Our theme verse has been Romans 12, 1 and 2. Says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to Him, holy and pleasing to Him. It's our spiritual act of worship. It's the uncommon call that He calls us to. And then He says how to do that. He says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, if you do that, He says, then you will know God's will for your life, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You will begin to understand the uncommon call, uncommon life that He is calling us to. And so that first week, we talked about, the uncommon life is a life that has uncommon love. Galatians says that the most important thing is faith, coming into that relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, and then offering that faith, you know, expressing that faith through your love. And not this the human love, it's a love that God has poured in you. It's an agape love, it's an unconditional love, it's a sacrificial love that He calls us to love with. To this uncommon love, to love Him with that kind of love and to love others in that same kind of way. And then the next week we talked about this uncommon appetite that He calls us to, that He calls us to hunger and thirst after His righteousness, that the only way to be satisfied in life is to be filled up with Him and to seek Him first in our lives, to seek His righteousness in our life. That, you know, and what happens a lot of times is we begin to crave and pursue other stuff from the world, right, and just give our lives to those kind of things, thinking that they're going to satisfy, and they never will. They never will. You know, we get to a place where sometimes we have the, you know, we're willing to give up His abundant life, His best for us, for just a bowl of stew, right? And then the next week we talked about, last week we talked about the uncommon call that He has on our lives. A call to be a holy priesthood, you know, set apart to do His work and to live our lives for Him in that uncommon call. Well, today, as we move toward Thanksgiving, I want to talk about the uncommon gratitude that God calls us to in this uncommon life. And as I've studied this, it's amazing that how serious God takes this having gratitude. I think even this uncommon gratitude that He calls us, it's very important to Him. And we're going to look at it this morning. I think about life. Life is constantly changing, right? And it changes so fast, sometimes it's hard to kind of get a grip on things. And sometimes it feels like, you know, things are getting out of control. Things are moving so fast. I think about my own family, you know, and it just seemed like yesterday when, we were, holding our boys in our hands. And now, I get to see my grandson here in a few hours, it's just amazing how time, it can travel so fast. And, I was thinking about even Kim's sister, Kristen, is here for Thanksgiving. And I can remember just, taking her own dates with us and, with us as a three-year-old. And now she has, four little ones from seven and younger, seven all the way down to three. And it's like, whoa, changing seasons, right? Changing seasons. And so what I want to make sure that we do is not to forget some things that we need to do. How many of you are good at forgetting things? Yeah, most of the men raising their hands, right? Forgetting things, like you go to the fridge and you forget what you went to the fridge for, right? Anybody done that? I'm not there yet, but... Yeah. Or, you go to the grocery store to buy things and you put them in your little bag, like two or three things, maybe, I don't know, and you wheel out your little cart and you get to your car and you forget to get the bag out of your little grocery cart and go home and little things like that. That's a personal story, so I just thought I'd throw that in there. But in the midst of all the things that we're doing, especially in this time of the season, I want to make sure that we take time, maybe around the meal on Thursday, but really all through this week, to kind of just stop and pray and just to stop and to remember and say thanks. Just to say thanks for all that God has done for you and all the promises of God things that he's done in the past, things that he's doing right now, things that he's going to do in your future. But sometimes we don't forget to say thanks. Sometimes it's just hard to say thanks. For instance, when you maybe didn't get the job that you wanted, or you know your savings gets wiped out, or there's this unanswered prayer that you've been praying for years and years, or maybe the loss of a loved one that you just really can't understand, and maybe a relationship that has broken up, and the last thing you want to do is give thanks. You just don't feel like saying thanks. I saw this inscription on a tombstone that said this. It said, "Forgive me for the days I was not grateful." Now, I begin to think about that in my own life. You know, there have been days that I haven't been grateful. And you kind of begin to think about that. You know, "Forgive me for the days I was not grateful." And I don't think typically that we think that ingratitude or not being grateful, we don't think of that as sinful, right? We don't think of it as something that requires forgiveness. Because I'll get that way. You know, there'll be days where I'm not very grateful, you know, and I begin to complain or whine because things aren't going my way. You know, I get really selfish and I sometimes think, you know, is that really a sin that needs to be repented of? Well, look what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. He says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And I look at that, it's not just a suggestion, I really think it's a command. And so if God's will for us is to give thanks in all circumstances and we don't do it, well then that's what? That's disobedience. And that's a sin. And we need to repent and ask God for His forgiveness. And you'll say, "Okay, Monty, I got you. It is a sin, but it's really not a big sin, right? It's like, you know, it's one of those sins that maybe God can just wink His eye at, right? It's not a varsity level sin, right? Or you know, it's more like a JV level, a team kind of sin, right? It's not really a big deal. It'd kind of be on the same scale as saying dagnabbit or something like that, or some other Christian cuss word, right, or something like that. But I want you to know, as I've kind of walked through this past few weeks, God takes ingratitude very seriously. Very seriously. I mean, it's important to Him. You know, people are always asking me, "Monty, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for me?" And well, here it is, right here. All right, it's very plain. God's will for us is in every circumstance to give thanks. In the painful one, give thanks. In the circumstances that bring us joy, give thanks. In the disappointing circumstances of life, give thanks. Give thanks. God's will is for you and I to have this uncommon gratitude, to say thanks in all circumstances. In fact, God wants you to be thankful when you feel like it. He wants you to be thankful when you don't feel like it. And He wants you to be thankful until you feel like it. He takes it seriously. He says, if you're going to live the uncommon life, well, then you must have this uncommon gratitude. Paul says it like this in Philippians 2:14. He says, "Do everything without complaining and arguing." Some translations say, "Do everything without grumbling." You know, and that word in the Greek is gangousmos. Gangousmos. It's a Greek word that's kind of like a word that we use sometimes, like what's the word onomatopoeia, which means, yeah, it's a word. It sounds like what the word means, right? Thank you, my college kids over here helping me out. And so that's what this Greek word is. We actually get our word gong from this word, but it's not just the words that you speak, but it's the tone. that we use. It's the tone that we use. And I've kind of missed this throughout my life. Because I've always wanted to be a positive guy, and, you know, I don't want people to know if I've had a bad day or whatever. So, you know, if somebody comes up to me, how are you doing? I'm great, I'm awesome, you know, I'm awesome, blossom. It could be the worst day of my life, and I'm not going to let them know that, because I don't want to be a complainer or a whiner, you know. I want to be positive. Or if I come home, Kim says, how was your day? It was great, it was amazing, when it was terrible, you know. And so I think I've kind of missed that, because God wants us, He wants us to share our struggles, things that we're really struggling with Him and with those that we love and those that love us. He wants that. But He doesn't want this gongusmas, this complaining, grumbling, whiny kind of attitude. And let me just kind of show you that in God's character, in kind of in a unique place in the book of Numbers. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Numbers. Don't really preach many sermons out of Numbers, but I'm kind of excited about this. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right? Numbers chapter 11. And you kind of know what's going on in this story. The Israelites, God has rescued them from and delivered them from being enslaved in Egypt. You know, He's brought them through the Red Sea, and now they're kind of out in the wilderness. And you ever thought about why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? You ever thought about why they, you know, I think we have some maybe general term of understanding, but really I think it's because of this, because of their ingratitude. Look at verses 4 through 6. I'm going to read it in the Message because I think it describes it so well, but you can follow along in your version. It says this in the Message paraphrase. It says, the riffraff among the people, just a few, you know, the riffraff, just a few. You know, the people that had a craving, and that's usually when we get in trouble. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We get a craving, right? You start craving stuff other than God, and you end up getting in trouble. And soon they had the people, all of the people of Israel, whining. Why can't we have meat? I mean, we ate fish in Egypt and got it free, to say nothing of the cucumbers and melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But nothing tastes good out here. All we get is manna, 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 right? I mean, you can almost hear it. It's a whiny tone, right? Man, let's try that together, all right? You try it with me. We're just going to say it, manna, 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 as whiny as we can on the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three. Manna, manna. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so listen. Since I don't whine very much, I'm not going to say it. I want you to say it as loud as you can in the best whiny tone that you've got, all right? Here we go. One, two, three. Yeah. That's really good back there. Manna, manna, manna. It's just manna, right? I mean, they're not sharing their struggles. They're whining and complaining. And here's what we discover about ingratitude in our lives, that it is contagious. It is contagious. I mean, one negative person can bring the whole family down, right? It just takes one. I mean, you be careful this Thanksgiving. You're going to have all the family together. It just takes one that's complaining and wanting to bring the whole place down. One employee, right? One employee that can make the whole workplace just feel like, yeah. One neighbor. One church person, right? It's an infection and it can spread. It's kind of like a complainer holds a black lens right up and he's trying to get everybody to look through it. Yeah, you know, come on, look at it. You know, just kind of look through. You know, it'd be like sitting in here, you know, you're feeling pretty comfortable, and then all of a sudden somebody says, wow, it is so cold in here, right? And then it's going, oh my goodness, it's cold. And before long, you're going, well, it is kind of chilly. It's kind of chilly, right? Or maybe, you know, you're going through the line, you know, and you get your turkey and your stuffing, and you eat the stuffing, it tastes pretty good. You say, but the person next to you says, you know, this is the driest stuffing I've ever had in my life. This is so dry. And before you know it, you're going, yeah, it's really dry. It's contagious, right? It's the spirit of one person bringing down everyone else. And that's what's happening here in Israel. Exodus 16 says it this way. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out here into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. to starve us to death. I mean, they're just complaining and whining. I mean, they're so much so they're even forgetting about. They don't even mention the 400 years of slavery, right? Oh yeah, we were being beaten and enslaved and doing what we didn't want to do. And, you know, they forget about that. I mean, it's like they're sitting around the hibachi having fondue or whatever. It's like, oh man, it was awesome. It even kind of affects the way we remember. But here's what I want you to know this morning, that uncommon gratitude is also infectious. It's also contagious. They did a study of two different groups, and one of the groups, they told them to keep an annoyance journal, right? To write down everything that annoyed them every day for 10 weeks. Everything that annoyed them. Right? I mean, some of you probably could be members of that group, right? All right, no, maybe not. Just kidding. The second group, they said, to keep a gratitude journal. To write down every day for 10 weeks things that you were thankful for. And they discovered that that group had more energy, better attitudes, they slept better, they were less depressed, they were happier, right? And the other thing they discovered that in each group, if the person, if they were intentional about kind of sharing those things that annoyed them, they start sharing them with the rest of the group and they begin talking about the things that annoyed them, that the rest of the whole group began to talk about those same things. Oh, you think that annoys you? Listen to this, And the same thing happened over in the gratitude group, that as they begin to share things they were thankful for, well, everybody else began to say, oh, man, I am so thankful. I am thankful for this. Attitudes were contagious in each group. So on one extreme over here, you have thankful and grateful people, right? And then on the other extreme, we have grumblers and complainers. And so my question this morning is, where do you find yourself? When somebody asks you how you're doing, what are the first words that come out of your mouth? I mean, are you more toward the side of grumbling and complaining, or are you thankful and grateful? Well, God is a gracious God, and He provided for the people of Israel. He provided the manna for them, right? Manna is a word that means what is it, or whatever it is. You can choose either one of those kind of understandings of that word. And I'll just say, I mean, I'll give it to the Israelites. I'll just say, what is it's not a good question when you're dealing with food, right? So this Thanksgiving, when you're coming for it, you don't want to go, what is that? What is it? Or parents, we need to be a little careful when we make our kids eat everything. We're going through the line and saying, you're going to eat everything, whatever it is, you're going to eat it. You're going to eat at least one bite, and you get up to grandma's or aunt's or somebody's, and you go, I don't know, some kind of Jell-O concoction or whatever, but it doesn't matter, whatever it is, you're eating it, at least one bite. Right? Don't make me one of those things. But the Israelites, they were complaining. The manna was bland. It had no taste. But you have to understand their context. They were starving to death. They were starving to death. So instead of being grateful, they kept complaining and wanting meat to eat. And finally, I love this about God. Finally, God had enough. I mean, He had enough. And look in verse 18. He says, tell the people, chapter 11, verse 18. He says, tell the people, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Well, now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it just for 1 day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it. I love my God. He's a funny God. He said, you be whining about, okay, you be a whiner. All right, you go ahead. I'll show you what whining's all about. In verse 4, and then in chapter 14, verse 26, it says this. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Wow. I mean, that's why they wandered in the wilderness. For 40 years, God is waiting for this generation of complainers to die off so that He can fulfill His promises that He wants to fulfill in their lives, that He's promised to them. I mean, he's waiting for the complainers, the grumblers to die off so that he can fulfill his promises. Gratitude is important to him. He takes it serious, and he's calling us to this uncommon life, to this uncommon gratitude, where in all circumstances, we come before him and we say thanks. So I just wanted to share with you about this uncommon gratitude and really what it does for us. The first thing I think it can do for us, it can refocus my perspective. Again, uncommon gratitude is not dependent on circumstances, right? I mean, true gratitude has nothing to do with what you have or don't have. It has nothing to do with having a job or not having a job. It has nothing to do with having or not having good health. It's not dependent on the circumstances around you. And I know when I move over to the side of grumbling and complaining, I focus rather on what I don't have, right, than what I do have. I begin to focus on what I think I need, or, you know, I become entitled a little bit and think, God, you ought to. And maybe that's true in your life as well. When you're on the grumbling, complaining side, we begin to focus on ourselves and what we don't have or what we think we need instead of what we have. A while back, I was standing in a line, concession stand line, and a few people in front of me was this guy up there, and he was getting him some popcorn, and he was just going crazy. You know, he was just going on. I could tell I was behind him. I mean, he was doing his hands and all this. His head was kind of, I mean, he was going off on the lady, you know, and so, I mean, it was going on and on. And finally, you know, I'm standing back. I'm saying, let's go, buddy, let's go. You know, it can't be that bad. You know, and I thought that maybe when he turned around and started walking by me, I thought for a second that maybe I just kind of reach out and kind of trip him, you know, with his box of popcorn and his bucket of popcorn. I don't know. I was trying to discern what would Jesus do in that moment. You know, what would Jesus do? And I couldn't decide. And so when he walked by me, I kind of gave him a sarcastic, it's really, you know, it's really cool. I don't know if, you know, God used that in his life or not. But I get up there and I ask the girl, I said, what in the world was going on there? And she said, well, he was mad at me because I overfilled his popcorn bucket. He's afraid he wasn't going to be able to get back to his seat without spilling it. And I went, oh, my goodness, right? Overfilled popcorn bucket. I know now I wish I would have tripped him, because that's what Jesus would have done. I mean, we lose perspective sometimes, right? And we forget how much we've been blessed. You know, my first trip to Guatemala, after working with the malnourished kids and the children there, I try never to use the words, I'm starving, anymore. Because I don't know what it means to starve. I know what it means to be hungry, right? I know what it means to go without food for a little bit, and so when that happens, I can complain and I can grumble, but I don't know what it really means to starve. And so it really began to change my perspective, just how blessed I am. And I want us to think about that in our own lives. I don't want to make us feel guilty about anything, but I want to help us realize how incredibly grateful and thankful we really need to be. We have so much reason to be thankful. It kind of puts our life into perspective. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but on Twitter sometimes they have these hashtags, right? And this one was hashtag FWP, means first world problems. And so you can kind of search that and kind of see what some people talk about on, you know, and then hashtag first world problems. So here's some of my favorite that I just bring to you this morning. The first one is this. So frustrating to get home from the grocery store and not be able to fit the food in the fridge. Hashtag first world problem, right? Or this movie is taking so long to download. It's driving me crazy. Or I'm so overeating at all the restaurants near work. You know, I'm just so over that. And this is my favorite. I hate it when my Apple Watch doesn't register the right distance when I run on the beach. It's clearly going to be one of those days, right? Hashtag first world problems. Listen, there's never been a more indulged people in the history of civilization than right now. But we are the most discontented and ungrateful generation as well. So entitled, right? God says, hey, I'm calling you to uncommon gratitude. And a thankful heart begins to change our perspective and open our eyes to God's perspective, to His desires for our lives. The second thing I think uncommon gratitude can do, it can refresh my heart. Psalms 95, verses 2 and verse 8 says, come before Him with thankful hearts. Don't harden your heart as Israel did in the wilderness. You see, God was providing for the nation of Israel, and they began to harden their hearts against Him, ungrateful for what He was doing. And He was making them a nation. He was saving them from their enemies. He was dealing boldly with the people that would oppose Israel, but they just kept hardening their hearts, and they weren't thankful, and they paid a price for that. A thankful heart is a refreshed heart. When you begin to remember and have a different perspective and think about how God has blessed you, and you become thankful, it refreshes your heart, kind of chips away at that hardness. I mean, if you have a hard heart, you will not be thankful. You will be ungrateful. And the third thing it does for us, I think, is it reminds me of the goodness of my God. Psalm 7:17 says, oh, how grateful and thankful I am to the Lord because He is good. He is good. When you're a thankful person, you're always brought back to what God has done for you and who God is. And so I've listed kind of three. There's a bunch of reasons, but three reasons why I think, that lets me know that my God is good and that I need to be thankful for that and have uncommon gratitude toward Him because of that. The first one is this. It's because of His grace. Ephesians 2 says, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. And maybe you haven't grown up in church, and you're not familiar with the word grace. You don't really know what it is, but it's really just undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. It's a free gift. In simple terms, that's it. Grace is a gift. It's getting what you haven't earned. It's living a life that you don't deserve. You have been graced with something. Graced with something. I read this from Max Lucado about grace. He says this in 1995. It's about the baseball strike in 1995. He says there was a strike in Major League Baseball. See, contracted players were holding out for money and better benefits. There was a lot of resistance from the owners. In the spring of that year, the owners banded together to determine whether they would have contracted players or not. And they were going to open the season whether they had them or not. And they opened their teams to virtually anybody who could field a ground ball and swing a baseball bat. Some of you maybe remember those days. Some guys who were coaching Little League one week were playing in the big leagues the next. Max Lucado writes about that experience in 1995. He says this, the games weren't fancy, mind you. One manager said his pitcher threw the ball so slowly the radar gun couldn't even clock it. But oh, did these guys have fun. They arrived before the park was open, oiling their gloves, cleaning their cleats. They thanked the attendants for washing their uniforms. They thanked the caterers for the food. They thanked the fans for paying $1 to come and watch them. These guys didn't see themselves as a blessing to baseball, but baseball was a blessing to them. In that short season, the Phillies gave away free hot dogs and sodas, and in the trade of the year, the Cleveland Indians gave 5 players to the Cincinnati Reds absolutely free. So what made this so intriguing, he says, is what made it so magical was quite simple. These were all guys who were living a life they didn't deserve, and they were chosen not because they were good, but just because they were willing. And they knew it. There was no jockeying for position. There was no second-guessing the management. No strikes, no walkouts, no lockouts. These guys didn't even have the names on the back of their jerseys, but they were thrilled just to be on the team. That's grace. That's a picture of grace. And that's how we should be. Just thrilled that God would allow us to be a part of His family. Not because we deserve it, not because we're good, not because we've done anything to earn it, but just because that's how God is. That's a reason to be thankful. Another reason about His goodness is His love. God loves us, again, not for what we've done, but for who we are. And it's an important truth, I think, to know that it's not, His love is not based on our looks. It's not based on the way we dress. God's love for us has no strings attached, nothing you can do to earn God's love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His love to you and to me that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's His love from a good, good Father that ought to make you thankful for who He is. A little girl named Susie's dad had traveled all over the world, and every time he would come back from his travels, he would bring Susie a doll. And Susie was only 8 or 9 years old, and she had one of the most incredible doll collections anybody had ever seen. She had dolls from China and Africa and Mexico and Japan and France and Egypt. And one night, a business associate came over to the house and had dinner, and afterwards the father proudly, walked upstairs with Susie and to show him his daughter's doll collection. And the visitor stood in all of these cases with all these dolls and hundreds of dolls. And he said, "Susie, this is incredible. I've never seen anything like this. You have a true treasure chest. Which is your favorite doll? Which is your favorite doll?" And Susie didn't hesitate. She went to her closet and she reached down into a bucket and she pulled out this old raggedy doll. It's beat up. It was missing an eye. The arm was chewed off. The hair was ratty. And she said, "This is my favorite doll." And the visitor said, "You've got to be kidding, Susie. I mean, how can that be your favorite doll? Why is it your favorite doll?" And she says this. She says, "Because if I didn't love this doll, no one else would." And I don't want to be silly, but you and I are that doll in the hands of God. We're the beat-up, raggedy doll that's blemished, that's imperfect, that doesn't have it all together, who's missing parts, that's inadequate. And God loves us. No strings attached. And that's reason to be thankful. And then finally, eternal life. Colossians 1:12 says, "And always thankful to the Father who made us fit to share all the wonderful things that belong to those who live in the kingdom." In the midst of all the crazy things that are happening in this world, if you are a follower of Christ, you can be thankful that you have eternal life. Eternal life that is starting right now. That God is wanting you to have this abundant, full, eternal life. And also eternal life to be with Him forever in heaven, where there will be no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more fear. It will be a perfect environment for those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're in doubt, just let me tell you, I've read the end of the book, and here's how it comes out. God wins. God wins at the end. And heaven is going to be an incredible place where the blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk, and I'll have a full set of hair. Right? It's going to be a wonderful place. And you and I should have uncommon gratitude to celebrate His goodness, His grace, His love, the eternal life that He offers to each one of us. We should have uncommon gratitude to celebrate that goodness, really to celebrate the gospel. Because here's what I think, complaining and whining undermines the gospel. The good news that He loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. So Philippians 2:14 says this again. "Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you can become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky." It's almost like our complaining dims the light that we were asked to shine. So when God provides for us so generously and so sacrificially, and we start off every day complaining about the job we don't like, or how the kids are never ready on time, about the new wrinkles that we see when we look in the mirror, about the teacher or the coach that just doesn't get it, when we start off each day complaining, it's really this picture of God holding back the walls of the Red Sea, right, for the people of Israel, and His people walking through and then looking at their feet and complaining about the mud between their toes. That's the picture. That's the picture. Listen, if you are a follower of Christ, you have been saved, given grace, forgiveness. I mean, we were slaves to sin, but God rescued us, delivered us, saved us, made Himself nothing, and dying on a cross for you and for me. And in the light of His goodness and grace, in the light of that, it makes me want to say, God, forgive me for the days that I have not been grateful. Let you and I begin to decide to take on this uncommon gratitude that He calls us to. Make uncommon gratitude your attitude, right? Thankfulness is an attitude. Begin to no matter what the circumstances are around you, begin to start your day thanking God for who He is and what He's done and the promises that He has given us. A thankful attitude will rise above the circumstances. Make an inventory from now until Christmas of what you are thankful for. James 5:13 says, "And those who have reason to be thankful should continually be singing praises to the Lord." Just begin to make a list. And it's so easy. I mean, you can begin just, I begin to think about that. I begin to think about, my ring. Okay, God, I'm so thankful. I just kind of went all the way down, just me. Begin to make a list. And then finally, make God the source of your thankfulness. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Since we have a kingdom nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving Him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and awe." When you make God the source of your thankfulness, it begins to inside of you produce this uncommon grateful heart. People can take away your home, they can take away your car, they can take away your money, but they can't take away your relationship with God. Okay, so if you make God the source of your thankfulness, you will always be thankful. You will always be thankful because God will never leave you or forsake you. So that's my challenge for us this Thanksgiving. Begin to ask God to produce in us an uncommon gratitude. And so what I want us to do here at the end, I just want us to worship together right now, okay? Worship team's going to come up here and we're going to worship together. And here's what I think. Worship is the opposite of whining. Praising God is the opposite of complaining. And so I want us just to stand together and begin to worship our God and allow this time to be an expression of our gratitude to Him for who He is and for what He has done. So let's take this time for Thanksgiving, just for us together as a community, to stand and to express this uncommon gratitude to Him. Let's stand together. If you need prayer this morning, if you need to make a decision to follow Him, to recommit your life to Him, this altar is open. You can come and do that. But together, we're just going to worship our God. For it is the opposite of complaining. It is the opposite of whining. We're going to ask God through our words of worship to begin to fill us with this uncommon gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. Worship.